Okay. Right. We thought we'd start with some updates. So should we start with your updates? All the things that you wanted to talk about, some of the training and the bits and pieces that have been happening and the stuff that's going on. And so you've got to talk and take your own minutes.
Yeah, I'm not sure I can coordinate that tonight. Feeling a bit frazzled from today. Is everybody all right after today?
I was tired. I snoozed a bit when I got home.
Is that all the rules?
Snooze or sneeze?
You obviously.
What did I miss?
Start therapies. Training.
Oh.
Okay, so a couple of things. We picked up an email today from Tracy Cullen. The Awakened event this year has been cancelled. So she's, I think she's feeling a bit overwhelmed with all her, because it's on top of her normal day job. So she does healing retreats herself and stuff like that. So she goes overseas and hosts healing retreats. So she's cancelled it for this year. But if she gets a sort of okay response and people want to do it again next year, then she'll do 2019.
Wouldn't it work better as a biannual?
It might.
Yeah, it might do. So, just an update. So, there's no.
So, I saw something they've got on the big sheep. Is a.
Yes.
Mindfulness.
Soul, mind, body, and soul.
Yeah, I wondered if that had anything to do with them as well.
No, I don't think so. I think it's separate. August bank holiday is back on. What was the other thing I said? I said three things.
You did.
Forgiveness therapy. Yeah. Okay, forgiveness therapy. Three of us went down a few weeks ago now, on 24th and 25th of March, and did their forgiveness therapy training. And I really just wanted to share a little bit about that and whether actually we feel that we're going to be a forgiveness therapy centre here. So the basics of it is that it is a secular it's not a secular therapy. Therapy is very much centred in God and Jesus is very much at the centre, but it's for people who are in the secular environment, so don't actually have a connection with the church or any of those things. So from their point of view, from like the people who are receiving or taking part in the forgiveness therapy, they don't have to have a faith whatsoever. They can be have faith, they can have another faith, they can have no faith. So everyone is open for everyone, so it's open access very much in our ethos. But it is essential that centres that run forgiveness therapy, so if you become a forgiveness therapy centre, that you're very much of Christian faith and that you're able to basically engage with heaven. And they're very strict about it being, there being absolutely no mention of the names Jesus, God, Father, Holy Spirit. But he is referred to, or they are referred to, as anything that the person responds to. So some people might respond to the rock, or whatever people refer to as their safe place, And we know that the only, that actually this is God, Jesus. It's very much based around speaking the other person's language, but with the intention. So what we know about intention, the intention of, we know that we're connecting with Jesus, if it's referred to as the rock or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. The reason I say the rock is because one person said that their safe place was a rock.
Mm-hmm.
That they felt that actually when they needed to go to a safe place, that's where they went, mm-hmm. in their imagination. So what we know about soul gateways and imagination gateways, so it's very much talking the language of, but in a way that somebody
mm-hmm.
outside of Christian faith will understand.
Mm-hmm.
It lasts a maximum of 12 weeks. Each session is 50 minutes long, but always booked out for an hour to allow for changeover, breaks, refreshments and stuff like that. And maximum of 12 weeks. So it doesn't always last 12 weeks. So what they shared with us was that many people these days, because I guess they're getting more experienced at delivering it and being able to get to the root issues, it lasts a lot less than 12 weeks, but never goes more than 12 weeks. That's the maximum.
Mm-hmm.
People can do more forgiveness therapy at the end if they want to,
mm-hmm.
but they have to wait for, have a break first, and just then rebook in the same way as they would do. But even though there have been a few people who have said we'd like to do it again, they've never actually come back, because what they've prayed for, what they've
mm-hmm.
experienced and gone through, eventually comes to fruition, and it's no longer needed. They do not discuss, even when prompted, so if somebody who's Christian comes along
mm-hmm.
and says that they want to do the Jesus or
mm-hmm.
Then they say, I'm very happy to talk to you about Jesus, but it will have to be at the end of it, after
mm-hmm.
the session. So we'll finish this session,
mm-hmm.
and it has to be outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the testimonies were fantastic. The testimonies they shared, a lot of the things they went through, bearing in mind the journey that we've been on in terms of engaging with Jesus and Holy Spirit and Father individually, and getting to know them personally. It's exactly, you get exactly the same results, but without
mm-hmm.
the barrier of you're trying to evangelize
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very much on the case of, actually it's not a tool for evangelism
mm-hmm.
whatsoever. It's very much about reaching everyone and
mm-hmm.
healing everyone, and there being no strings attached. So
mm-hmm.
Jesus, you know, saying that actually people don't have to become Christian
mm-hmm.
just because I'm providing you with something. So
yeah.
there's no wrongful trading,
mm-hmm.
if you like, or
mm-hmm. What if somebody decides they want to give their life to Christ while
you're
going through the forgiveness therapy?
But it would have to be
outside
of that session.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, oh, you have to wait till the end of 12 weeks,
mm-hmm.
but you have to wait till the end of the 50 minutes,
yeah.
and then somebody will sit down, we'll arrange
mm-hmm.
to have a coffee and chat with you and
mm-hmm.
Introduce you to Jesus.
So what would happen if someone said Jesus was their safe place?
Yeah.
Well, actually, then in that case, it's like, then they refer to, go
mm.
to your safe place, that,
mm.
you know, that's
mm-hmm.
fine. But they don't say anything other than what the person says.
Mm-hmm.
So one person did say that they, Jesus is standing right in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And although they weren't Christian, they knew that,
mm.
that it was, they saw, they were spiritual,
mm-hmm.
spiritually aware,
mm-hmm.
and they knew that it was Jesus. And so they said, Jesus is standing right in front of me. So actually, it was Lindy, I think, who was running the session. So it was, there was no option but to engage with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was.
Mm, yes.
It's just, but That was only in response to the fact that that person had said that
yeah.
Jesus.
So if someone actually was a full-on believer, and they were, they've actually brought that.
If they were a full-on believer, what they would say is, you need inner healing ministry. So
right.
You need a church ministry. So forgiveness therapy is not actually you all, because they all, you know, if it's a full-on believer, you already know the principles of
right.
forgiveness, and so you're not actually teaching people. You're not actually going through it for them.
Yeah, well, that doesn't stop most normal Christians, does it?
No, but actually, if they're coming from forgiveness therapy, then actually, then it's like, you then say, well, you know, if they know Jesus and Father and Holy Spirit, then actually there's no reason why they can't have normal church ministry in a healing. So they would be referred to, actually, this is more suitable to you. Because if you want, if you're insistent on talking about Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit, then you need church ministry rather than forgiveness therapy. So forgiveness therapy is very much aimed at people who are bound and suffering from the effects of earthly baggage and having no way of being able to dispose of it. And, you know, many people do actually engage with Jesus, many people don't. But it's... Jesus actually said to Lindy, you know, that's okay, because I want to give away my love freely without there being any kind of obligation on the person's part that's receiving that freedom. So it was really interesting, but there was one guy, she said, that really I thought was fantastic, this Buddhist. Did I say this last time? No, maybe not. He came and they were talking about, you know, his safe place was Buddha, and so it was like, okay, that's fine, you know, refer to them as Buddha, you know, they know that actually in the room is Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit, angels, that, you know, it's just like it's okay. So he engaged with peace. Or light, or whatever it is, you know, because effectively you're introducing, you know, Jesus into the equation without saying Jesus. And he said, you know, oh, I'm used to meditating, and so it's, oh, that's fine, engage with peace then and meditate on that. And then he came back one week and said, you know, I've been meditating at home for years, and I can never ever get to that state of peace in the same way at home that I can as I can here, ever. I've never experienced the depth of it. And then they said to her, that's because it's Jesus, isn't it? And she was like, yes. He said, I think I want to know him. She said, excellent. We'll talk about that after the session. So it was very much like, brilliant, absolutely. We'll have a coffee after this and we'll talk about it then. And so then carried on with the forgiveness therapy. And, you know, there were several occasions where... just really simple engagements where I think I did mention this last time about the guy who turned up for his first forgiveness therapy session, and they thought there was a strange person lingering outside, and that was their first, he was on his first appointment, and Lindy had spent sort of 40 minutes, half an hour going through paperwork with him, and then said, right, just to, before you go home, let's just engage a piece so that you can take that piece home with you. And then you come back next week, having, you know. And she said he came back and his whole countenance had completely changed. He was a completely different person just from engaging with peace once for 10 minutes. So it's, you know, it's having remarkable impact. They get referrals or signposting from the local doctor's surgery. It has to stay... Christian lingo free, Christian free in terms of, you know, delivery, because to maintain its integrity. Because it's going global, so they've got they're going all over the place, and I think, is Lindy going somewhere?
He's going to Brussels in a couple of weeks to talk to doctors about using it in Belgium.
So it's going global. But they use a recognised scale to measure the impact. So they use Hamilton Depression Scale and Beck's Anxiety Scale, which is why it takes a while to go through it. So and they're now, rather than being referred to as therapists, referred to as practitioners. So they do a week one statistical analysis, so where are you at the start? Then, depending on how it's going, if they're progressing well, then they'll just carry on, and then on the last session they'll do an update to look at actually where are you now. And because it's a recognised scale, then it's actually recognised to a wider audience. So doctors and other statutory agencies don't have a problem referring into it because it's not Christian. So it's a way of bringing good news to people without hitting them over the head with sort of Christianese jargon or frightening them off and then not coming at all. But if it's struggling, because some people do drop out and that they've found that that's okay to actually just say, you know, if it's not working for people, then just to be hands up, it's not working. So it's not like if you started a process with someone that you have to slog it out for 12 weeks and you not get anywhere. So if it's kind of, you feel that it's not working with someone, then you can then do a recap of like an update. So we do the scoring of the Hamilton and the Beck's scales. It either brings it to a conclusion of it's not working, let's just call it a day, because it's no point wasting your time or our time. Or it helps them to see that they are actually making progress and they re-engage at a deeper level because they're actually seeing that it's getting somewhere. So there's a variety of stuff. There's all sorts of tools and stuff that they sort of shared with us. But it's fairly intense. They're quite strict. Clients who don't turn up for two sessions don't, without sort of prior notice, get, they're off the programme. And the way they run it and what they're saying is they recommend centres to run it is they do one programme of 12 weeks every 4 months. Mm-hmm. So do it 3 times a year. Very strict. But obviously if some people are in away on holiday, that just gives a bit of extra leeway in between. And they enrol people mm-hmm. for those start dates.
Is it paid for?
I think it's what it's worth, or is it free? I don't know actually. I think it might be donations or what it's worth. Mm-hmm. But it's really a way of helping people who don't mm-hmm. have, if you look at the way mental health services are going mm-hmm. and, even with the trauma-informed care that we've been looking at and mm-hmm. the psychologically informed environments, they're just giving people coping mechanisms. They're not giving people solutions to get set free. And so I think that having something where you can give someone a solution, you've then also got an avenue. I've been doing mindfulness in here, and the number of people, like brokenness, that has shown up in people's lives that, you would just see people walking down the street and they're not people with typically obvious things going on, so not our average customer, if you like, where it's obvious that they've got some issue going on, but the level of brokenness is heartbreaking, really heartbreaking, and I believe that God is saying to us, he wants us to reach out to a wider community. So the community that we've got right now is quite narrow, and although I think that for some people it would be okay to use it here for like the drop-in, some people would do it in the same way as they're managing to do counselling. Some people won't. But I think that for those people who are at the slightly less chaotic end, possibly that might be for them. But I do feel that it's part of a wider healing rooms type solution for what, like, I guess like an exchange type thing for people, where people are coming and they're dumping their rubbish and they're getting peace and life and stuff in exchange for, you know, everything that they've been carrying. I mean, there's loads more I could share. It was fantastic. I really enjoyed every second of it. It felt full of life, full of options for reaching people who normally would not engage with church, who would not think that actually they can get healing at church. And I believe that a lot of the things that God is showing me at the moment is he's expanding our horizons beyond the people who would come to church for healing or ministry or that kind of support, to reach people who wouldn't ever consider that they could go to or want to even go to a church for any support, maybe because of bad experience in the past. But you know, there are no solutions out there other than God. There are no real solutions.
I think for me, I'm slightly worried about the... I can understand if it's mandated because you're working with GPs and they say, well, you can't bring up Christ because we're in a politically correct era.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure that I can fully subscribe to not having, as a Christian, if the solution is God, to then take God out of
God is not out of it.
For the person that's receiving it.
No, I think you misunderstood it.
No, God is not
in it.
God is
I know that. Totally. And you know that. But they don't know that.
I think that's what they experience. They do.
Yes.
They get a real actual encounter, if you like. So each session they will be engaging with peace, light, you know, and also actually, yeah. The thing is, it's not, even if you're introducing the truth to them, okay, it's not your responsibility for them to respond, because that's up to God. And what you're sowing into them might be the start of their journey.
Mm.
You know, what God said to me a long time ago when I first started, when I first became a Christian, was that if you speak truth and life to people, whether they respond to you at the time or not, you're still sowing truth and light into them and life. And that is true for all situations.
I think from my experience now, what I do with the guys, they're obviously, Kevin introduced them to, it's a good thing to find your spirituality, find thing. For me, no, I wouldn't evangelise in the way I used to evangelise, because I just use different tools now, and I use but it's actually through the encounter, through the activation that they meet Jesus. So I have shifted sort of from.
I don't think I misunderstood. I think that was what I'm trying to say. I think is that whenever I have had, where I've been put in that position, then. You know, I'm very unconventional. I don't even know what it means to evangelise. You know, I understand. I've met Southern Baptists that want to beat you over the head with a pole. Apparently, religious nonsense. But actually, yes, a revelation of Christ is what you want. But the person knowing that it's a revelation of Christ, and I think what we're talking about here is the time between them knowing that's what's going on and acknowledging it in their life and receiving it. So I fully agree that you've got to start somewhere, and you're not going to get there unless you get a whole bunch of stuff off your head. You know, for me, it was you're not even going to have that conversation unless you've got a full stomach.
Mm.
Yeah? So then suddenly you're sitting in front of a guy that is looking you in the eye with a cup of tea with no agenda, and you've got the biggest worry off of your plate. So now we can have a conversation. And invariably it would go, what's the hole in my life is? Prompted by whatever's in me. Not me. Because the words that came out of my mouth on that, it's the same thing. So yes, I kind of get that. I'm just a tad worried about, you know, the Mark 39, because I always prayed before and covered the thing, you know, with Christ's hand, if you see what I mean. So, and if I was asked, it was always, yeah, I'm a believer in Christ. You're a Christian, not necessarily because that your understanding of Christian isn't necessarily what I am. Mm-hmm. I'm a follower of Christ's teaching, mm-hmm. and start by reading the red words in the Bible, work your way out from there. So,
but if you look at it from the perspective of Paul, no one preached the gospel to Paul.
No, he just did.
God met him,
yes.
and revealed himself,
yeah.
in the light.
Yes.
So we're only giving people an opportunity to engage Jesus, and Jesus will reveal himself the way he wants to.
Yeah.
I'm not right or wronging this. Yeah. I'm just trying to think about a way that says that is compliant with. I kind of had that where they go and say, hey, those guys over there are calling out demons in your name, Jesus. And Jesus says, well, if they're doing it in my name, they will come to the light. They can do no evil because they're doing it in my name.
It is totally in his name, but just
I understand.
Because the person.
The customer may not know that.
Yes.
But as long as the
But they're going to be aware that Marketplace is a Christian ministry.
Yeah.
I mean, and the same would be here. I mean, it's like we're known. We've got a church meets here. It's like, you know, in the sense of the thing on the wall.
Demonstrating the heart and love of God.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Yeah.
So, but you're not going to take that off. You're not going to take that off of the.
That is exactly it, because it's demonstrating unconditional love.
Yes.
So it's like there are no ties attached to the fact that I want to bring you freedom.
Yes.
If you choose to ask the questions, whether you're prompted to at that point or not, then we can have that conversation. If you're not, that's also okay. It's unconditional. There's no strings attached. Mm-hmm. There's no
labels.
Obligation.
No, but you've got to look at it from the point of God knows exactly where everyone is, and he knows how to reach everybody, and he knows whether this is step one, step three, five, seven, or this is the end step that they will actually meet him, and they will ask the question, I want to meet this person, or because he'll prompt it. And I think we've got to see it as this is, again, led by what God is doing, not what our agenda is.
Yeah.
And believe by legislating for people who are at the right point to come into that revelation and God reveal himself. And I think he will, because that's exactly what we do in any other encounter. We sort of give God the opportunity of doing it rather than us doing it in our whatever way we've learned how to do it. And if we allow God to do it, he will, I believe, reveal himself. And then they will ask and they will...
Yeah.
You know, come to that knowledge of the truth because he's revealed himself. You know, it's like, you know, God revealed Christ in Paul. No one preached the gospel to him, but the light came around him. Now we're giving people an opportunity to come into the light because this is a place of light. We will administrate light. We will have angels there. All that stuff is our responsibility for creating the place of light, and then we've got to trust that God will reveal Jesus to people.
I think that's actually the answer I was kind of looking for.
Yeah.
And that is to make sure that we're very clear and that we do due diligence for the intent.
Oh, totally.
That practitioners in this, I think.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
really what I'm sort of about.
But also being aware of, there's no, you know, there is no agenda from our point of view, because...
Pointless. It's been decades and it's got nowhere. So
showing unconditional love where that person is at that time.
Yeah. It's preach the gospel, and if you have to use words, and that actually is outworking it. So if you're releasing people and so on and so forth, and they're getting into a headspace where they're ready to receive, and God will meet them.
I mean, we've got to believe that God is leading us into these things because this is the way it will reach people that other things won't.
Yes.
You know, I think that's there'll be other people we can share the good news with, and it will be like, they engaged God without any problem. Some people, because of their unforgiveness, are inherently in the torture chamber.
Yes.
You know, and we've got to try and help them out of the torture chamber so they actually are able to, because a lot of them probably blame God for their situations in sort of one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they don't want to blame themselves.
To be honest, I think we had a similar thing with the Lit Club down at Living Wales. We're as an experimental, we weren't allowed to proselytise. We had very clear rules and guidelines about what we could and couldn't do with it. Mm-hmm. And towards the end of it, they were ringing us up saying, we don't understand it, they're healing.
Mm.
These chronic cases are all being healed because the whole, it was on the prayer list all the time.
Yeah. And the same would be
for the leg club, bring healing to the leg club.
If we were to offer oil hand massages, the touch and our intention of laying hands on someone and imparting love is going to touch that person.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Like, we don't have to say anything.
On the day, I think, was it another day? Anyway, one recent time when I was down there, she said that a lady had come for a hand massage, and it was advertised through their Freedom Play Centre for kids and stuff, and it was advertised there. And so this lady came and had a hand massage, and she came back and booked another appointment the following week and said that it completely changed her life. Because something had broken in her about how she thought about herself while she was having this hand massage, but she didn't realise it until she'd gone out and went. She had to go shopping after she had it done, and she said she got home and realised that she hadn't been whatever it was, either anxious or, you know, stuff going on in her head in the same way she'd had, and so she wanted to work her way through the menu of the oils because she wanted bit of everything because it had been so like powerful. And so, you know, I think there are testimonies there. And one of the things that I thought about, because we've got this mindfulness going on, you know, just looking at actually offering ladies hand massage to come and just be able to receive something. And but I feel that God is saying He's going to send us different people. So people who we wouldn't normally be able to reach in a way that we've not been able to reach them before. And that people are going to come and they are going to be looking for something that they can't get anywhere else. Yeah. Outside of Him.
Yeah, it's really powerful stuff. One of the guys last week on the activation, God took him back to prison, and he said his cell. And he suddenly realised as he in his focus, and he saw the key wasn't on the other, the key was on his side.
Yeah.
You know, and we've got to trust that God will do that in the right way.
Yeah.
Better than we can. I mean, testimonies that you've said of the activations you've done, and even the one here with the fear thing and the stone and things like that. I mean, they're real. And then we didn't have to do anything but give the opportunity for God to actually work in somebody.
Yeah.
And I think we will see the fruit of that as we go forward. And there'll be other things that we can be totally overtly sharing the good news with people, because that's what will open up and that opportunity will take place.
Yeah.
But that's being led.
No, well, if you think about
what to do,
what I feel God is doing is giving us different slices and different avenues and tools to be able to use to reach people depending on where they're at.
Different groups.
And at any sort of time. So that actually we're reaching a broader range of people and giving them the opportunity to get some freedom and some life and some healing. You know, there were many, many sort of testimonies of, you know, things that they've experienced and that people have given from there. I mean, you can actually look on their web. They've got a really nice website called forgivenesstherapy.org, and on the front page, if you scroll down, there's testimonies of the first 13 people who, so they've got their scores there, their Bex and Hamilton scores on there for the progression that they made and the difference it made in their lives. And all 13 of them actually moved forward in a positive way, like life-changing way, as in, you know, things are different. So that in itself is, you know, if somebody gets to that point where they've been set free, that in itself is a result. So I guess really the thing is looking at doing this at the Forgiveness Therapy Centre, because there are, you have to, how the sessions are run, there's always two people in a session. Mm-hmm. So there's a lead and then there's a second. The second just sits quietly, doesn't say anything, but is just praying and possibly making notes of what the person is saying, almost just to make sure they can refer back over it. Mm-hmm. But
that's
doesn't
a safeguarding thing as well.
Yeah, but doesn't actually say anything, so they're not actively involved. They're kind of invisible, so they're an invisible person. But only people who've had their training can actually be leads.
Mm-hmm.
But we can train the seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we get to a point where actually we've got lots of people who want to do it, and we've run sessions successfully and got to a certain level, then we can become a training centre ourselves if we so wish. But that's not, you know, certainly not obligatory. And so you need to have enough people to be able to offer enough sessions to start off with,
mm-hmm.
and to get that sort of experience. They gave us some really good tools, of being able to actually do all the things that we do. So even like parts integration or timeline stuff without actually using Christian jargon. And so very just basic language, but still as powerful, because they're still actually engaging with Jesus. They're still engaging with the Father and Holy Spirit. And, you know, like that Buddhist guy, you know, most people know, actually, they don't, you know, if you have a real touch from God, okay, it's undeniable.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they don't want to face up to it at that present time in their lives, it's still undeniable.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. So what I really want to put out there is, how do people feel about us becoming a Forgiveness Therapy Centre?
Excited.
It's very exciting. I was so excited. I came home so buzzed up. It's so exciting.
It's like, oh, shut up already. Oh, there's a gap. That's great.
Well, I think we've learned a lot. I think, you know, since you guys went down a couple of years ago, I think they've learned a lot. I think their experience and their, it was so powerful. The whole thing was so powerful. So feedback, what's people feel?
My opinion since we went there. It's an amazing tool.
Yeah. So as somebody who's trained, would you be happy to be a lead person? Would you be wanting to...
We need a refresher.
Yeah. But is it something you'd be interested in doing? Sessions with people?
Probably a second to start with, maybe. And yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's, but even though we've been on training recently, it would still very much be on the job. But, you know, the good thing is it's not about us, it's about
no,
what he's
right,
doing.
Exactly.
So it's not, you know, we don't have to be...
And so the actual forgiveness therapy programme, is it as, say, prescriptive as something like live busing, that there's a script and you lead people through each session on the script, or is it a little bit more
freer than that? Yeah, because you have to be actually totally connected to the Holy Spirit and Father and you know what the angels are doing around people, and you know, you just have to be connected to heaven in order to be able to deliver it. So there's no that's why it can't be delivered outside of the Christian environment, because you know that's where the life force is. And so it's very much using all the skills that we use when we actually minister to people.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote down some of the stuff.
But there is a sort of a manual program to go through.
But what there is actually is a book.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a book that you go through, but some people don't respond to a book. Things, yeah. So you don't have to use it. If people don't want to respond, so if people are visual and the idea of working through a book is too like off-putting, they won't use it. But so there's a practitioner's book, and then the other person gets a book, and those books stay at the centre until they've completed the course, and once they've finished they can have the book. But it's a prompt, but within that framework you're effectively working people through stages of, so you know, what's your story? So, you know, like we talked about recently with trauma-informed care, you know, what happened to you? Not what's wrong with you. So what happened to you? What's your story? And talk through that, get people to the point of, okay, so that's the issue. Let's explore that a little bit more. And if they say things like, oh, a part of me this or a part of me that, you know that actually there's fractured parts. So you can say, oh, well, it sounds like maybe you've got a little bit stuck in that area. Before you go home, let's just walk you through something that's going to ease that for you. And those sorts of things. So you're still using all the tools that God is bringing to us at the moment, but just simply without frightening people off with the J word. So we did actually some timeline stuff, and I still had like encounters myself, like completely, but not once did they mention, you know. So there's the first lot is you express the pain, okay, so that's your first thing. So explain verbally in as much or little detail as you like, so people can verbalize it or they can write it down. So then the decision, okay, how has the event impacted your life? But then it also helps people. So, kind of how, you know, like the shack, where they say in the movie, you know, choose between your children, where he's given that choice of. It's very much like that in, okay, what do you think might have been going on? What do you think the impact of what's happened has had on the perpetrator, or the person who, you know, the other person in this incident. And then also looking at, have you ever done anything in your life that you perhaps wish, looking back with hindsight, that you hadn't done or blocked? So opening people's eyes up to widening their, so you don't want them to have a pity party, you want to widen their eyes to, actually, you know, there's always two sides to a story. Not saying that what happened to you was wrong, because that's not how it's done. It's not sort of done as, oh, well, you know, get over it, everybody's hurt, kind of. It's not like that. It's just a, rather than focusing totally in on yourself, which is very inward focused, it's more, let's look wider. So that's the...
I mean, it's a similar sort of recipe, almost probably a different scale, it's the same as the TC, isn't it? They get a chance to express their pain through a life story or through it, and then probably work from there.
Yes, I very much got the feeling that it was actually looking at actually those sorts of things, because it is very much, well, here, so can you look at it from the perpetrator's perspective, trying to understand that attitude and behaviour? Why do you think they may have behaved as they did? So it's not dismissing the fact that they've have actually done something, it's just widening the perspective of the individual who's going through the process. So how do you think the perpetrator's life could have been been impacted by the event? For the sake of your own health, are you prepared to accept the hurt without needing to unload it onto the perpetrator? So without, you know, so the first step is very much all the way through the process, it's really helping people to understand that it's for your benefit that you're forgiving. You're not forgiving because actually you think that it doesn't matter. You're forgiving because this is affecting your own health. Mm. So it's very much making sure that they understand that process. So then it's like facing the facts, you know, really describing exactly, you know, how you were hurt. So remembering that perhaps you might have done stuff in the past. If it's something that people are still in the thick of, so if they're in an abusive relationship or, you know, in a situation that's dangerous, it's helping them to understand how can they stay secure and what changes might they have to make in order to keep themselves safe. Is it safe to have the perpetrator as part of your life still, if they still are? And that, you know, writing a letter. So there's various stages that you go through, but it will take, it's at their pace. Mm-hmm. So it's not like week one you do this, week two you do that. It's actually some people might take a long time to express the pain, and then in the last 2 weeks go through all the other steps because they've mm-hmm. got it out of their system. So it's very flexible in that respect. And there are many tools that we can use, but within it, but very strictly not allowed to be overtly Jesus, to, because otherwise it damages the, you know, can't then be open access.
Mm-hmm.
It then becomes something that is, you know, Christian. So practicalities, when you start off doing a trial, so say for example, we decided that we were going to become a forgiveness therapy centre. We had 3 people who were leads and 3 people who were seconds. We would then do a trial, so that means we'd only be able to do 3 people to start off with, or depending on how many appointments each person could do. When you're doing a trial period, the same person does the assessments and the first sessions for everyone to maintain so it maintains its sort of it's consistent.
So who does the assessment? Do a marketplace come down to do the assessment? Or is it an internal?
We would do the assessment. So we would start off with doing it on a trial basis. So say for example we could offer it that, you know, we're trialling a new therapy, looking for volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So one person would do the assessment all the way through, so that it is consistent. Yes, that's the word. It's consistent from all the way through,
mm-hmm.
for that trial period, so that you've not got any different ways of
variations. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that means that person would have to be on the first session, but then wouldn't necessarily be in the other sessions, and then
no.
would just do the actual assessment
so
at the end.
They're very. So they limit it, so you're not getting lots of different people working with
yeah.
a client. So if you've got a client, I think it's a maximum of 3 different people. So you could have the assessor in the first session, and then the person who's going to be the lead would be the second on that session, and then they know that
yeah.
person, and then you'd introduce them, and then you'd have a second.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have to be, I think Anna Marie is quite good at analyses everything to make sure that there's consistent people throughout the process. And if there's going to be holiday,
mm-hmm.
then it's say for example, I was doing sessions, but halfway through I was on holiday for 2 weeks, they would know up front that.
So they would just have a break for those 2 weeks.
Might have a break
or
they might have somebody else do it. So it might be the second, might then become the lead.
So the okay.
If they were trained.
Yeah. So there's got to be some if it wasn't the second, then there would have to be some sort of notes or something that referred to where the person was at in the process.
Yeah, because they've got a book.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are lots of, like, details that we'd have to work out, but it's looking at, actually, is it our heart, is it what we feel that God's calling us to? And I'm sure then the steps will, you know, come into place as we sort of progress, if that's the case.
Yeah. That sounds good. I mean, it's our heart, isn't it? It's God's heart. It's just the outworking of it on the ground.
Whenever I've been asking God about, actually, where do we start with therapies, what we're doing and stuff, you know, consistently forgiveness therapy has come up to the point of I got to the stage where I couldn't ignore it, which is why I spoke to Lindy and said, can we come down and do some training? I do believe it's God's heart. They're seeing some fantastic results. And He's demonstrating the heart of love of God, the unconditional love. Who knows what it, you know, when you start, it still will be a steep learning curve. Even though we've been on training, it will still be, you know, a steep learning curve. It is a commitment. It is.
And you've got to get the right people to volunteer to do it as well. There's an awful lot of point doing it with Christians, is it? Just because that's the whole point. It's not for them, so essentially we have to find people who aren't. Want help or willing to get help, and how do we make those contacts?
I think that I'm
sure God will have
the answer. How we reach people. And based on, you know, my recent experience, and even over the past few years of doing the Awakened event, just looking at the sheer number of people who are searching for something. It's just like, even on this mindfulness course, people are just looking. They are broken. They may not naturally turn to the church. You know, not.
So in a sense, then we can find a way of advertising that in different ways.
There are lots of ways we can get out there. We can do it through partner agencies. We can even, you know, we can advertise it on Facebook. Get it out there.
Well, I did actually, you know, that our Devon Recovery Learning is. The people who are doing the mindfulness course.
That's one.
So I did actually wonder whether we could advertise it in one of their books as sessions available, limited places.
The other way is
quarter.
through doctor surgeries. Even the Devon Together Alliance, they're happy to take it there.
So I think there are ways of being able to book it. And what they do is, if they get more than three people interested, it's a case of put your name on the waiting list and next sessions that come up, you know. So I think that.
So how many people do they do down there at the time now?
Well, they've got six people trained as leads. And their setup is different in that they've got, they're training people all the time to be on their sort of forgiveness therapy team, so it's an expanding team. But I think that they do, I can't remember whether it's six or eight people at a go.
Right.
But if some of those drop out, then that's it. They don't fill it.
Right, more. Yeah. Well,
because
that would then
done
run on,
the,
wouldn't it?
Yes, they do it in blocks.
Yeah.
So they used to just fill in and carry on, but it just got really confusing and difficult to manage diary-wise.
At different times.
So they do blocks.
So they do three blocks a year.
So one every 4 months, and they said that from their experience that works better than how they did it previous, where it was just a run on, because it just got really confusing.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
So if you're self-assessing, how will Marketplace know that you're doing it the right way?
They will check up on you, and there's ongoing training, there's ongoing. Because they have to maintain the integrity of it, otherwise it sort of falls down. So they would come up and assess if you were doing, you know, as you're doing your first sessions, and you also have to do, I think it's monthly Skype meetings, just to have a look. You have to organise supervision, so it is set up in a very, in a way that is a recognised way of working a therapy. Because one of the guys who did that side of things was a psychotherapist, or that is a trained sort of like mental health person. So it was done in a way that was acceptable to
medical profession.
Yeah, the medical profession, so that there'd be more likelihood of referrals.
Yeah.
So that, you know, you can really do some good.
So yes, then.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll speak with Lindy at the weekend. And I'll just find out who wants to be lead. I know Alice was really keen, but so I'll double check before I sort of look at, you know, who wants to do it.
So who were the three people who went down?
It was me, Alice and Trish.
Okay.
And then Lindsay Gray, Deb and Joe Hillman previously. So, you know, we'd be constantly looking to get people to go on the training when they ran training, so that we could expand.
So the second really could be anyone you really trusted.
Yeah.
Just to sit there, basically.
Yes, yeah. So we can train our own seconds, but the leads always have
to be trained.
Yeah. Unless, of course, eventually we become a training centre ourselves. But that's a way down the line. So there were people who wanted to do it.
Sorry?
You
might be fast-tracked.
You would be, but, yeah, the leads would have to all attend the training. But, you know, it was...
Funnily enough, Trish hasn't said much about it, but she's certainly talking more my language these days. Just in that brief time since. The conversations we have about things that used to irk her no longer irk her in the way that they used to. She understands my point of view, whereas that used to be contention at one time.
Yeah.
But it's now far less, it's sort of, I describe it as putting on your 7-league boots, so you take longer strides at it. But really, so I don't think it hasn't been front of her mind, but I think it's percolating, which is.
Yeah.
But I don't know about her intent with doing things with it or not doing the things with it. That's
I'll chat with Peach and see what she does. I'll just email Trish, and it's just like, there's no pressure.
No.
We had some really exciting talks on the way home, because in terms of looking at actually becoming a healing centre, you know, it's just, it's all, you know, God's heart for it. So.
She can see these things off, but they can be a long way off in the distance, and then suddenly they're here. So the conversation can change once it's percolated a bit and the realisation is there.
Yeah. So, but, you know, ideally we could do with 4 people to start.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the ideal number. But, you know, I'll speak to Lindy and find out if we, you know, go from there. So what was the other thing?
Carrie.
Oh yes, Carrie Browning. Okay, just an update.
Explain what it is. What is it?
Releasing toxic emotions. We did talk about it very briefly a few meetings ago. She's an American lady who uses essential oils to bring emotions to the fore. So. It's a type of energy healing, but using the oils is to go deeper. So what God sort of had me on this process, this journey of looking at all sorts of different types of healing, and what the this is like Christian healing, it's all sort of Christian stuff, And one of the books I'm reading is about reclaiming energy healing for the kingdom of God. And looking at different ways of accessing things. So if you remember back to Caroline Leaf and a lot of the stuff that she talked about was actually accessing the subconscious. So where the memories and the emotions have been stored in the subconscious was going through a process of accessing the subconscious, because our conscious mind can't always access the subconscious, where a lot of things get trapped. So there are a variety of things. So there's the Caroline Leaf program that you can access. You have to be really disciplined and really able to sort of follow through on that. But there's a variety of other things. And so the releasing toxic emotions that Carrie does is using essential oils to access the subconscious, to bring it to the surface, so those trapped emotions, and then to be able to deal with them. So it's quite in-depth healing. So this, all of this energy type energy healing is in the realm of quantum physics. And so she's coming down on the first weekend of August. So she's coming across from America. And she's going to do a seminar on the Friday night and the Saturday. So there will be a small charge for that. But she also does personal sessions with people to receive healing. So I'm on her training course at the moment. So when she comes over in August, she will do my final practical lesson and sign me off, hopefully. Unless I really suck. So she'll be offering sessions that are paid for personally with her. And they're $150, which works out to be just over £100 in current exchange rate. But she also said that it would be good if I have some volunteers. Not victims.
Guinea pigs.
Where she will sit in and I will do the session, but she will make sure I'm doing it properly. We spoke with, so that the connection was through, Fairchild knows her from connecting with her a long time ago, years ago. Yeah. And so she arranged for us to have a Skype chat with her, which was at the end of January. And we were talking for hour and a quarter, and it just went by in a flash. It was just, we connected so well. And she said, God said to me, I've got, that he was going to connect me with three countries, South Africa, Germany and England. She said, I go to South Africa really frequently, I go to Germany frequently, and I have a niece over there who I go to visit as well at the same time. But as yet, I've not connected with anybody in England. And so as we sort of went on, she was like, I really feel that you're my connection. I would really love to come. And so it just started from there. So Mike and Deb are very kindly putting her up while she's here. Mm-hmm. It's possible that she'll be here for a week, so she's coming on the 31st of July. Mm-hmm. So I'm picking her up from Exeter Airport, as far as our sort of preliminary arrangements are, on the 31st of July. And she'll do private sessions on the Wednesday and Thursday, so she can do three a day. And if there's enough demand, she'll do some after the weekend as well. Mm-hmm. So she'll be with us possibly for a week. But I think it's probably the sort of the first visit of, and I'm sure Mike and Carrie will talk about quantum physics quite a lot. She's a really, really lovely lady. She's really lovely, and we've recently did some training on trauma informed care and psychologically informed environments, and we looked at that video. Do you remember the ACE? Scores that that lady, the black lady who did the video, was on the video. Do you remember that?
What ACEs are?
Adverse childhood experiences. Okay, so there's a basically a score sheet where in 1998 they did this sort of 17,500 people survey into the impact of early childhood trauma mm-hmm. on long-term chronic illnesses. And they found that it had a significant impact. And so... but it's only just filtering through the system. Maybe if you think that's 20 years ago.
Yeah. Isn't it?
20 years ago. It's only just filtering through the system.
I know. But it's got a name now, three-letter acronym. That's what we're away.
Yeah.
We've given it a three-letter acronym.
Yeah, but if you can look it up, I mean, it's this...
It's a big focus in the criminal justice and restorative justice area at the moment as well. But they're looking at adverse childhood experiences, not just from a health perspective, but also people, bringing people into the justice system and early intervention just to prevent it.
Mm-hmm. So. But you know, if you think that if we could offer services and therapies to people in that situation to not just help them to cope with it, but actually to remove it altogether, then, you know, that is... Some of these people will be part of
less prisons for
the Joshua generation. Mm-hmm. You know, some of these people are going to be part of what God is doing, only they don't know it yet.
Yeah, he loves them all. He's especially fond of them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Pictures on the fridge.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's just an update. More details to follow. So, the being able to book the, we'll put it on Eventbrite for the booking the sessions.
Can you just put it out to the church first?
For the sessions, what she said with the sessions was, the sessions won't be booked by Eventbrite. So, okay. What I'll do is take a list of people. Fine. So it'll be on a first-come, first-served basis. So we will put it out to the church first, and then wider if you know the sessions aren't full.
I think they might be.
I think they will be too. Yeah, I think they will be. So, I mean, I did say to her, look, you know, we could probably fill you up for a week. So, having initially said, I'm not sure, but I will ask, and then subsequently, you know. So that is, she takes payment on the day of the session, mm-hmm. So we would book people in and then they would pay.
For the conference itself, or seminar itself, is what, we say £20 or something?
Something like that, yeah. Yeah.
So Friday night and a Saturday. So.
Yes, yeah, so we will do a small fee to attend the conference and then for the seminar. And then payment of private sessions, we will just take a list of people mm-hmm. who's interested. Or who actually wants to book a session, and then when we've got concrete travel plans, then she'll book people in. Mm-hmm. It's exciting.
Mm-hmm. I think it's very significant.
Yeah.
The fact that she's been looking for a connection here, having had connections in Germany and South Africa already, mm-hmm. and we're her connection.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of.
But I think Young Living Oils is quite well known in the UK.
Yeah.
You know, there's obviously people who...
There will be people, if they find out she's coming, yeah. They'll want to come.
They'll probably want to come, mm-hmm. yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's... I mean, she uses Young Living Oils, but she doesn't...
She's not actually... Well, she's a
seller.
She is,
absolutely. But she in her training course, she says that you can only use any pure grade...
Mm. Yeah.
Therapeutic oil.
Yeah. I guess so people who have been connected may want to hear it of her. Or
yeah.
Once we advertise actually what sort of thing it is, then that is going to open things up.
Yeah.
I think.
So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. So we will do a hopefully. Over the next week do a leaflet and a poster and get that out and so we can start advertising it at church. And then Jeremy will do the Eventbrite one. Mm. So we'll put it on Eventbrite. We'll go book their ticket. But we're not actually paying for her to come, so the price of the ticket and the private session actually funds her coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, it's good.
Good.
I actually think it's significant steps forward in what Gus has been talking about.
I mean, her website,
for a lot of
you
years.
Can see some of the. She does little excerpts, YouTube clips of sub sessions.
Yeah, so her, if you want to look at her website, it's newrenaissance.com. If you just put New Renaissance Carrie Browning, it'll come up.
Carrie.
K-A-R-I.
And what's the
Browning. So like brown, with just egg on the end.
Like gravy.
Yeah.
No, it's there.
And I mean, she is.
This is some
pretty full on Christian.
Oh, she's very full on Christian.
Yeah,
yeah, she's very full on Christian.
She's sort of
no holds barred.
Led a church for 18 years or something, didn't she? So she's
something like that, yeah.
Been involved and done ministry schools and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, she did preschool actually. Mm. Mm. They did a preschool.
Very brave.
Cool. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So, but really lovely lady. You know, she's. Mm. She's lovely.
Cool.
But under on the website, you need to look at courses for the releasing toxic emotions part of it because it's a course, and that's where it gives you give you the information. The other part of it is. Her sort of ministry, sort of journey.
Cool, right, that was good. Somebody else got any other updates? Anything else we need to know? Anything else that we'd like to discuss?
I'm going to get a pack together for kids so that there's something in the lobby, not the lobby, lounge area for them to do.
What are you thinking of putting together?
Colouring, word searches, stuff to keep them occupied.
Good plan.
Ella borrowed the Sudoku things. That was in there.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he was doing.
Craft stuff.
Extras this
there was
weekend.
Lots of children this weekend.
Yeah.
Expected that was.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And we weren't prepared.
No. Prepared for a lot of things.
That was a good idea.
See the pants are us.
So we've got a regional event on Saturday and Sunday here. Just to, we had mentioned it last time, but that's this weekend. So we're doing a establishing heavenly government on earth workshops with Lindy from the marketplace. Doing sessions on Saturday and then I think Sunday after we've done the worship.
So are we worshipping together first? Is that the plan?
That would be the plan. I think.
So we're doing worship. Okay.
That would be the plan, and then we can then.
I suggest
coming here.
A flask of tea, a banana, and a cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
In these circumstances. Yes.
Okay.
Pardon?
Yeah,
it's always good for these types
warm.
Of journeys.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And marmalade sandwich. And marmalade, if you're if you've got no time. What time do you start on Saturday?
9:30 till registration will. Half an hour for people to get here and then start at 10.
Yeah.
Great. So 10 minutes of worship, then and we're off.
And they're off.
Fair enough. So, yeah, on the Sunday.
Well, see what we've got, what's going on.
Yeah. Well, on the Sunday, I'll do a sort of a discussion, answer stuff first thing for those who are in the area. And others can obviously can travel if they're travelling from Exeter, or some people are travelling out.
There's a bit about loft sessions this weekend, wasn't it?
So you're starting before the meeting?
I'm going
to. And then stopping for worship and then starting again?
Well, I'll be giving people an opportunity for a sort of a question and answer thing at 9:30 until 10:30.
Mm-hmm. In here or in?
In here.
But yeah.
In here or in there?
In here. So,
Ben, who's chairing on Sunday then?
You should chair.
That's a really good question, isn't it? Yeah.
It's not me, is it?
So you're coming into the workshops after the break?
Yeah. Well, I'll be around. Yeah, I'm not doing them. not the Sunday ones. But I'll be around. This
so how many people required. Have we got? How many people?
It's about 25, 6, something like that. enough that would fit in here, okay, as long as we get the chair there.
We need to set this up as a...
Yeah. I think for the intensives, we'll probably try and clear out all the stuff that's in here, have all the chairs, like all those things.
I've got plans for these.
Yeah, we can put them downstairs and just give her enough space.
For row.
So, and then the following week after that, the 24th, 5th, 6th, we're doing the intensives, so,
during the week.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is that always fun? for me, anyway.
Yes, for you.
I'm not sure for them. they may look back on it in the future and see it as a very positive experience.
That was, yes.
Yeah. Remember that time I broke my leg that taught me to ski?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So will that take place in here?
Yeah, it'll be in here during the day, and then once we've cleared the place at 5 or so, we'll have a bit more space in the other room.
So you're moving the hall, so we'll have to pack that away?
Yeah. It's going to be... We'll have to organise a lot of stuff that week.
Will they have to find their own lunch?
No. Lunch is being provided.
But catering. Not... Okay. Different from day centre
lunch. Yeah, no, they won't be going in there and eating day centre stuff. Mm. But lunch will be provided, and then we're planning to offer loads of takeaway menus and things if they would like to eat here in the evening, so that we can sort of keep everyone together when possible. So
we've got Regina staying with us, well, that's fine then.
That's the sort of, and people don't have to, I mean, if they want to go out and eat, they can, but we want to sort of try and create a sort of community environment where people get
to eat
together and to fellowship together and to get to know
minister
each other
to each other as they turn into quivering wrecks.
So I think at the ministry team we'll talk about actually is anybody willing to offer any sessions.
We're looking for sweepers.
And, on the Thursday evening, 5 o'clock, we're going to have a marriage ceremony.
Cool.
So.
What's
the
matter? What's the
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Oh. Get a taxi, Dad.
What time's the train?
Taxi! So.
Sounds good.
There's a bit happening.
Mm-hmm. And then we get a month where there isn't anything.
May,
and then we do another conference in June, and then another intensive in July, which will be the week or so.
The carry comes in August
before coming in.
But the bank holiday weekend commitments, so that's a bit of
Yes, I'm sort of.
I'm away in July at some point. Can't quite remember the dates, but.
Yeah. Well, I'm away from the 10th to the 19th.
I think it's around about that time.
So I'm going to come back.
It's for Goodwood, so it's 16th-ish, 14th-ish.
Goodwood. Horses.
Glorious.
Cars.
Yeah,
oh, the cars.
Cars.
Oh,
cars.
Oh, I think
cars.
Horses.
Cars.
I'd rather see the horses. But no, it's for the cars.
There wouldn't be any Ferraris there, would there?
Ferrari. A Ferrari.
I got to see a Ferrari.
can I? Sorry, have we finished what?
Yeah, we were just talking about Ferraris.
So, the pod. What were your thoughts today about the pod? You went in it, didn't you, Jo?
Yeah,
you
I went in it.
What's the pod?
Chemical toilet.
Oh, is it?
It was the tent.
Yeah.
No.
It actually wasn't the toilet, it was the tent that you could use your camping for. So what,
sleep,
now
sleep standing up.
It's the, it's the engage. It's to go in and scent it or something.
Engage. So was there light and sand?
Yeah,
and
there's
yeah.
light
smelly
that you
stuff.
Can change the colour and oil to put on your hand.
Did you have a crystal? Did you get a crystal?
No,
you didn't get a crystal.
But we're already on the questioning.
Didn't get a crystal.
So what did you think? Did you have an experience?
Yeah, it was good. I thought it would be good, actually, to have one, and then you can just pop in and out whenever you like.
once we've got the room downstairs set up, then we can easily put one up.
Yeah.
It's not exactly expensive, is it?
I brought it up, because in one of my sessions this afternoon, I had this picture of us having a pod in the room that Grace decorated at the moment in the corner, like in the meditation room. So
wigwam.
Yes, well, I actually saw sort of something that was more of a...
A hooper.
Oh.
Yes,
that's better.
Yes.
Then that.
Sounds a bit better than the border pocket, doesn't it?
My feet were cold. So I wrapped the blanket around my feet.
Actually, have you ever seen the hip press file?
Yeah.
Yeah, when you were describing all the is it all the lights and everything else, and I was sitting there thinking, my name is Harry Palmer.
It's actually not
there. No, I know. But you'd understand the references of the movie.
Yes, they did. They had a colour changing diffuser in there, plus the lamp with the coloured acetates.
Okay.
And the sound.
So who's that? Somebody's come in and brought this thing and demonstrated
what,
it.
What we did
today
Marketplace
was... Yeah, brought it with them. One of their therapy things.
Yes.
I see.
We arranged a therapy training day. Because we're going to be offering therapies here, it was a sample of what they offer down there.
Right.
And...
For those who were brave enough to engage.
Yeah.
It wasn't quite what I expected today. They didn't... I mean, I had a ministry session, which was brilliant. It was really good, but it was...
It's actually part of what they offer for their healing retreats. So it was really to look at, open our eyes to what can we offer to people in the drop-in.
But it was full on ministry.
Each session was different. So yeah. So why can't we offer that here?
Well, I think we can. I personally am more towards what we can.
Yes.
But it wasn't what I expected.
Yeah, but the pod is another thing, and they do hand massages.
I thought it was to demonstrate different therapies, whereas what I had today, I mean, it was brilliant, don't get me wrong, but it was what we...
Yeah.
It was a sample
The one that I had was brilliant, but it's what we would have done. And the other one that I sat in on, I was like, we would have done more. So I was surprised because I was...
Well, that's encouraging.
I expected it to be more oily, massage-y, sort of therapy-ish, because it was ministry.
Yes, I agree, because I had two and sat in on two, and I thought, that's what we do.
But we don't, do we? We're not doing it.
No, but...
We're not doing it in a,
we'd probably
an open
do it
way
to... Yeah,
yes.
Organised. Yeah.
I thought the way we were going more of the therapies was to introduce more.
Well, we will.
That's what I expected today.
But there's a menu of things that
you have to be trained to do
that.
You have to be trained to do that. hand massage and stuff. I mean, I can do hand massage.
No. What I was saying, it wasn't what I expected.
I mean, I guess, I don't know.
Because I thought it, I mean, I'm pretty sure I was the only person in the day centre that was here today anyway. But to give people in the day centre an opportunity to see what we would be offering. My personal session was excellent, don't get me wrong. I was just a bit surprised.
Yeah.
But they do healing retreats, mostly for Christians.
Yeah.
And that's, they have a menu of different things that they would do.
Yeah. Yes, I know that. I didn't think that's what today was.
Yeah, we thought
it was different.
No, I get what you're saying. I kind of agree, actually, because I had a session, although that was far deeper than I anticipated it would. That messed me up for the afternoon. But
you suggest.
But the pod is a different
but
type
think,
of
therapy. I think what we got out of it is that we've got a lot of this stuff, but we've not thought of applying it in the way that they would apply it. And I think what we've come to is actually we can be a lot freer than we think we can be.
No, I totally am all for that.
Yeah, so the additional things with the oils and the pod and stuff, that's probably, you have to be trained, you have to do the forgiveness therapy, you have to be trained. But actually what we need to now do is have a discussion around, well, what of this can we administer and wouldn't we administer it in the same way? What would we do that would work here?
Which is what we'll talk about next Monday.
Perhaps it was not as out there as I thought it was going to be, but actually from my experience it was different to mystery I'd had before. It was probably because Lindy did it and she got stuck straight in, and
she's really good, but she was really directional.
I think that's probably I think the thing is that we can be more open to doing stuff ourselves.
I'm vigorously agreeing with you.
I think the problem, one of the interesting things is those who refuse to engage with it, and it'd be interesting to see why, because now your feedback would be, well, actually it was ministry, so why were you afraid of it? Why didn't you engage with it?
Well, no, I didn't expect them to. Well, it's a shame because two people are away anyway.
Yeah.
They're on holiday, and I don't know why Jan went there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I spoke to Jan on Friday and said to her, you're welcome to come, but I also said to her, you're welcome not to come, because it's...
Yeah, you don't want to be putting pressure on
you. Can't... From an employment point of view, you
yeah,
can't
sure.
put pressure on. And I
yeah.
didn't get an opportunity to speak to her face-to-face about it because she was ill the week before. So on Friday, she said, yes, she was really keen. Then I got a text this morning saying, I worked all night last night. I'm going to take you up on your offer not to show. I'll owe you a day. So I was like, that's absolutely fine. So as far as I was concerned, what I was legislating for was that the people that needed to be there would be there. And that was it. And so I think that the direction that we're going in terms of actually all this, because we're going to be bringing it from the heart of who we are as a church, it was right that we were all here. The people that were here. And that was right. I felt completely at peace about that.
It was something for me that I thought, yeah, that's what we do. We can do it.
We can do it. It's
rather than
don't.
All these different things that we have to learn and, oh, can I do that? Can I do that? But actually...
But it sounds to me,
but
if you were to lay, you know, but if you were to lay it out, I think it sounds to me the loaf of bread and pint of milk is the forgiveness therapy, and the follow up is a smorgasbord of all of these other ministry and opportunities to engage at a deeper level. Exactly.
But I think the mindfulness thing, I think, will be
another
a key thing to get people into that space.
Yes, where things
can happen.
Yeah.
And then these others are just, as you called it,
but
stations along the track,
you've
stuff.
Done lie busting with all sorts of different people.
Yeah.
Deb's done some with people who aren't Christians. So, in a sense, we know, again, getting God to speak to somebody about what it is to deal with is possible.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of people who've got skills in doing that.
So I think next week the thing would be to look at, actually, from a ministry team perspective, what can we use to reach, for starters, the people that we're already seeing in church all the time, to offer maybe something to them, like a ministry day for them, or whatever, you know, whatever we feel that God says. But then look at how can we use what we know in the environment that we've already got to reach people. So in terms of what can we call it, what does God say to call it? Because, you know, we can't just say come for a ministry session, because that won't fly in the area, in the being a hub with all the other agencies. But if God gives us a name for it, we can do something that we can offer people as part of what we're going to be doing. You know, we can actually do some guided meditations once we've got the meditation or the quiet room sorted out. We can do guided meditations. You know, there's a variety of things, but eventually we will have this list, and it won't be just people from the drop-in that we'll be seeing, it will be people from all across the country, you know, because actually, you know, who's to say we can't offer healing retreats like that?
Yeah.
As part of, you know, we offer intensive, so maybe we offer intensive
healing.
Ministry.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like.
Well, yeah, particularly if we can get the transformation booklet thing, because that sort of has a whole series of different types of things that will potentially be surfacing.
Yeah.
You know, we've got DNA transformation stuff with communion prayers, using sound in that. I mean, there's all sorts of potential things. I'm going to have some fun on the intensives using sound and communion prayers and things, and seeing what happens with that.
Oh dear.
No, I did tell them in my YouTube clip.
What to expect?
Well,
expect unexpected.
Expect,
There is no spoon.
What were you going to say, Craig?
It was free. I didn't book into anything today. I didn't do anything. I was just
hijacked. Great. There's a space.
Get in the pod.
Get in the pod. And went through the things and letting go and stuff, and then spent sort of 20 minutes doing each thing and putting the oils in it. And I came out and I felt to go to the crystals and I picked up the heart one and just held it in my hands and went back and sat down and pondered on it and just massaged it in the heart. And then actually when I went to the therapy or ministry, and I said, he spoke to me, and that's what God's doing in your heart at the minute. He's on me now, too. Well, I did have this sort of wacky idea about the idea. I felt sort of in church on a Sunday in the corner, where people could have access to go the same as they go to the bread and wine, they could go to the pod.
Well, it's really intense when you
sorry, I've just a picture
here.
Of Dave Webb wandering in.
Oh, crystal. Give me a crystal. Can I bring my own?
Yeah,
I missed all the explanations this morning, so I missed it. I went in the pod, but I missed all that sort of crystal.
But, you know, I think looking back over our journey and what God has been leading us into, talking about healing rooms and all that means, health centre, being an apostolic resource centre, you know, ultimately that's what this will become.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's the direction God is taking us in, to be able to engage people right across the board with a more therapeutic type environment. In various ways, and I think that's where things are heading. Not just, and I think it is a opportune time, because that's what people are looking for as well. You know, people are looking for solutions, but also the agencies are looking for solutions, because they can't find them in what they're doing.
There are no natural solutions.
Even if you
manage to get an appointment in, you know, with the with the mental health team, they just offer people how to cope, how do you cope with it, not how do you get rid of it.
Coping's mechanisms are better than nothing, but then
they're not
the solution.
It's not freedom,
no.
it's not life, is it? It's actually just learning to live with the madness.
Yep.
Pardon the pun, but you know, I don't mean it like that, but I mean craziness of...
The mask of sanity is a better way of putting it.
Sorry? Mm.
The masks of sanity.
Yes.
All of these things.
You know, but when we connected with Marketplace, you know, there was a covenant that we entered into, even though we didn't know what we were really doing. We entered into it, and there was an exchange from there to here. And actually, in the room, when we actually did that, people crossed and exchanged places as a sign that some of the things that we were doing would be benefiting there, and some of the things they were doing were benefiting here. And I think that's what we're now seeing.
Yeah.
You know, and that was obviously a few years ago, but it's now, it takes that time to outwork. You know, we couldn't have foreseen. And then we would have probably thought, no, we're not really into that sort of stuff. You know, because at that point, that's where we were.
Of engaging with people who are searching.
Yeah.
Like New Age searching, weren't they?
Yeah, well, yeah, because they did, their original marketplace ministry was in the market.
Yeah, but I think
and they actually did spiritual readings and prophetic things for people in the market. Yeah. That's where they started. And they've sort of got more into some of the things we were already doing, and now we're really looking to embrace more of some of the things they've got more experience of, and they're able to help.
Yeah.
You know, they've got experience of things, so as we have, and you know, there is this cross pollination that I think was part of what God did when He connected us.
Yeah,
yeah, but I feel the genuine intent of the whole expedition, for want of a better word, has become apparent fairly recently. I think the realisation of the intent of every action and things that you do are much more joined up recently than they were, than they have been before. And so I think now, so that gives you a discernment then when something is presented in its application, that you know what the intent of that is.
Yeah.
Because I think perhaps you weren't so clear on that a while ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good then. Mm-hmm. We're all excited about that.
Yeah.
Cool, and I'm just going to leave you with some homework then.
Okay.
Because having heard about all this stuff that God is doing, all of these things that are happening, we have responsibilities as mountains to now go and engage our mountain and see how does that relate to, what are we bringing to, what are we assisting with in the heavens to make this stuff successful and to work, and what do we need to bring to the party that contributes to the delivery of this stuff and the outworking of this stuff. So whether you're Good News, Freedom, Exchange, Health, Harmony, Enterprise or whatever, everybody's got something that contributes to making this a successful ministry and a successful outworking of God's heart. So even if you can't think of what that is right now, when you next meet with your benchies, discuss it, see what God's saying about it, take it into heaven and bring it back and see what you're going to bring to the table, or what your part is to cooperate in making this happen. Okay?
Cool. May I just say something?
You may.
I do believe the atmosphere here today is lighter.
Yup.
That's because of the pod, mate.
No.
No.
I'm just sorry, I've disturbed everyone with my coffee.
You've made it now.
Oh, you haven't.
Pods of spirit.
Just trying to be honest to pray for you.